This is Talking Business. Joining me now is Cathy Gapayar, who is the Executive Director, Social Impact at Your Side Australia. G'day, Cathy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Alan. Lovely to be here.
Now, Your Side used to be called Your North Side or North Side. Can you tell us a bit about the history of it, just so we get an understanding of where it's come from? Because it started 30 years ago, I think, as a not-for-profit community support organisation.
Correct, yes. It started about 30 years ago as a sector support organisation, and it was called North Side Community Forum as a result. It then expanded to delivering services, and the name changed to North Side. And now we deliver services to people all over the Sydney metro region. So the name reflects the new set of activities that we do.
And I take it the North Side referred to the North Side of Sydney, the North Shore. I think right around Chatswood it began. Is it still located there?
It is absolutely, yes, in the heart of Chatswood. And we were working traditionally in the northern Sydney region, but with a new business model that we have in play, we've been sought after by clients all over Sydney. So we have opened offices in other places. So we changed our name to Your Side.
No, fair enough. And the basic idea of the business to begin with, and I think still is to become a broker of services to people with disability and older people. Is that an oversimplification or is that correct?
No, that's correct. It is a brokerage system of connecting people with services. However, we do more than just a transactional brokering. So we do develop relationships with our clients and we understand their needs. And as a result, we've had clients stay with us for, you know, years and years.
And so now, of course, the business has had to change completely with the NDIS. Because, I mean, 30 years ago, there was no such thing as the NDIS. You presumably were just collecting, you know, sort of money where you could from various places. But now it's a much more organised system. Tell us about the change that's had to take place.
Yeah, absolutely, Alan. Well, the NDIS is the biggest reform since Medicare. You can see the scope of that. And we have had to change, all the not-for-profits who work in this sector have had to change from the old paradigm of being funded by welfare from government, so being a B2G scope, to the new paradigm of creating models that work within market forces and becoming B2C, which is actually a big change.
Interesting. I didn't really understand that you were B2G before. B2G being you kind of supplied, you actually supplied services to the government before, and now you're supplying services to the people with disability and the older people themselves.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Previously, we worked really with government. The government outsourced services to us to provide to the people who needed help. And they would say, here's a bunch of money to you, look after a bunch of people. And we found those people and looked after them. But we controlled the money, we controlled the services. So the change has come in the new social care market in that the money is now being given to the consumer. And the consumer decides who their provider is and what their services are. So that gives them choice and control ultimately over their lives, which is a fantastic thing to happen, as you would imagine.
Yeah, but suddenly you've got to understand customer service.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we do. We have to understand customer service. And people like me with a commercial background come in and we bring business principle to the sector to try and make it customer-centric and customer-obsessed, I should say.
Customer-obsessed, indeed. Well, you've got to become like Jeff Bezos.
That's exactly right, yeah. Alan, one of the interesting things when we were developing this model is that I was watching the show Mr. Selfridge on Netflix. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that show, about developing department stores, how he did that. And we've used very much that principle of a retail model to be able to communicate with our customers, provide everything they need, and provide high standards of customer care, and overall make the experience pleasurable and convenient for them, rather than what it was before, which was just doing something to someone, providing care to them.
So how much of your business is for people under 65 with disability and over 65 without disability, but just requiring assistance?
It's about a third, a third, a third. So we work across people with disability, older Australians over 65, and carers, and it's a third of it. So we have around 3,000 clients currently, and so we're doing about 1,000 of each.
And what do you do for them?
We provide any services they require. So it's very much a total care concept. We meet every single need that they may have. And over the past year, since we've put this new business model into play, we started with providing 2 services to now providing 28 services.
And so is the idea that with someone with disability who's, you know, getting money from the NDIS, do you take all of the money? I mean, you're their one-stop shop for everything?
That's the idea, yeah. And that makes it a lot easier for them because they don't have to manage services from 3 different organisations, which is what they were doing. So organisations used to be single service organisations. They'd provide 1 thing or 2 things only. And it was never the case that the client needed only 1 or 2 services. They needed generally 5 or 6. So they were negotiating services across 3 different organisations, which was very confusing for them.
So how many of your customers basically use you for everything?
Most of them?
All of your customers. And so what sort of money are we talking about? How much, what's the sort of average? I imagine there's a bit of a range in terms of the amount that each pays you according to how much disability they have and how much they need. But, I mean, how much are we talking in terms of dollars?
We're talking average of around $50,000 for people with disability. That's the average package size that we have. But it can go up to, we have some clients with packages of $250,000 and some with $30,000.
And for your average of $50,000, I mean, does that include all meals?
No. The thing is that the NDIS has very specific guidelines on what things can be included and not. So the meal itself cannot be included, but the advice on how to prepare it and the delivery of it can be, because the person can't obviously go out and get it themselves.
And does most of that $50,000 tend to get paid to a carer, or is it for other things?
Well, that's the interesting thing about our model, is that we've changed it from paying a personal carer, which was the previous regime, where you would pay a personal carer around $55 an hour for cleaning, for example, for 3 times a week. We have a client, Joanne, who used to get this. And a personal carer generally charges more, so it was $55 an hour, 3 times a week. We have now changed the model to, we don't get a personal carer to do the cleaning. We pay a commercial cleaner to do the cleaning at $30 an hour, which is the market rate. So that $25 an hour saving, 3 times a week, if you take that across the 460,000 people with NDIS packages, that's a huge saving for the government and taxpayers, just on cleaning.
Yeah, right. That's very interesting.
It's about $2 billion.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. I mean, I suppose you get the impression that the NDIS is going to result in a big increase in the amount of money being paid. But I guess you can see ways in which money will be saved.
Absolutely. Money will be saved if people, you know, begin to be commercially viable and create scale and volume, which is what is needed to work in the NDIS marketplace.
And to what extent are your customers living in sort of group houses where they share the costs, in particular of staff, but also other costs?
Our clients don't. None of them do that. We only work with people with disability who are living at home. So all these services we provide are in-home care. Our services allow the person to live independently in their own home.
Are you finding that you're often helping people modify their homes to enable them to live there?
We are, yes, absolutely. A lot of people can't, you know, from a small thing like a handlebar attached to the shower to bigger things like kitchen benches that go up and down. We provide all of that.
Right. So it sounds like it's been a really positive experience for your business. I mean, and also for the people that you work with.
It has been a positive experience, Alan. I don't know if you're familiar with the NDS State of the Sector report, but it's reported just a couple of months ago, it came out, that 1 in 4 organisations are operating at a loss in the disability sector, and 1 in 5 are considering getting out of the sector. So if you look at the
trend... That doesn't sound great.
No, it doesn't. So there's a lot of people with disability who will be going without services if organisations like us didn't exist.
Right, but so what's going to happen when those outfits go broke?
Well, we are picking up a lot of clients for people who are not able to do this, who are not able to make the market forces work.
So you are making a profit, are you? Well, how much do you make?
We are a not-for-profit, as you know. So any surplus that we have, we put back into the structure and the system again. And this business only started July of last year. So we're 9 months into it. But we're looking to become cash positive early next year.
Oh, so you're not cash positive at the moment?
Not for this particular business, no. We have the other work that we do, which is funding, which obviously comes from government, and we provide that. But this particular business, the new total care business that we're doing, which is making the NDIS work for us, is not cash positive currently.
So how is it being funded? Is it funded from donations or from some other thing you're doing?
We have retained earnings from 3 years of putting money aside from programs that we have run, and that's the money that we have invested into this. So it's not taxpayer money or government money.
Well, it's interesting. I think it's such an interesting and complicated area. We could talk all day, but unfortunately we've run out of time, Cathy. So thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Alan.
I've been talking to Cathy Gapayar, who is the Director of Growth Strategy and Social Impact at Your Side.